You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. And we return here with another week of Ravens football talk here on Locked On Ravens. After Father's Day happened yesterday, it is now Monday, June 21st, so a very belated happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, including my own, who is very dear to my heart and got me into sports. So without his sports guidance, I guess, I probably would not be hosting this show today. So a big shout out to my dad and everything that he's done for me and helped me get to this point throughout my career and just to be the person that I am today. But here today on the show, we're going to be diving into our Monday series that we started last week. And so we're going to talk about the tight ends, the offensive line as well. So we're going to do the tight ends in the first segment, and then we're going to get into, I'll call it the exterior of the offensive line, the tackles pretty much. And then we'll move into the interior offensive line in the third segment. So we'll talk about the guards and the centers. There wasn't a ton really that happened over the weekend for the Ravens. Mandatory minicamp is over. There are going to be a couple weeks before we really start to see these players in action. And then, of course, the preseason and the regular season starting up. You know, I think it'll be here before we know it. But we're going to dive into it all here. But before we do that, again, be sure to follow us anywhere there's a podcast. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We're there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time is when we put out our content. And also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we are going to dive right into it here. And let's start off with the tight end group. We're doing our positional previews for this Baltimore Ravens team. Again, we did the quarterbacks, the running backs, and the wide receivers last week. And getting into the tight ends, you know, it kind of goes into that group a little bit. And we're also going to factor in the fullbacks in this segment too with the tight ends. So talking about a 2021 positional preview for the tight ends, I mean, the group itself is one of the best in the league, but it's really held down by the two. And the two are Mark Andrews and Nick Boyle. Andrews has established himself as one of the best tight ends in the NFL over his first 3 years, putting up 156 catches for 2,105 yards. Also has 20 touchdowns to his name, including a career-high 10 in 2019. That 2019 regular season was a pretty good one for a lot of different players. But the thing that Andrews has shown, and I've talked about this, we talked about it last week actually with Gus Edwards, is improvement in his game. He comes into the league, obviously a very gifted pass catcher, but that's really all he was known as. He was known as a liability in the run game, a liability as a blocker, and it seemed to become a theme almost where teams would say, look, Nick Boyle, we know he's one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. We're going to follow where Nick Boyle is. We're going to stack the side where Nick Boyle's at in heavy formations because more likely than not, opposing defenses thought that the Ravens were going to run the football to that side. And it was also, all right, follow Patrick Ricard wherever he's at, whatever he's kind of hinting at, that's where the Ravens are going to run the football. But what Mark Andrews has done over the first couple of years of his career, heading into now his fourth season, is he's improved in that area. So now he's not a liability in the run game, whereas he was just learning about blocking in the NFL over his first couple of years. Now, he's not a grizzled, you know, 10-year vet, but he still has learned a lot about how to block at the next level, and that has helped the Ravens because now you don't really know. Obviously, Nick Boyle, you would love to run to his side, but they don't have to. They don't feel like Andrews is going to miss his block or not be able to hold his block long enough. So now it's a little more difficult for defenses to scheme up and match up right at the line and say, all right, Nick Boyle's on the right side. Let's stack the right side. That's not what happens anymore. And obviously, I mean, we can't not talk about the connection between Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews. I mentioned those 20 touchdowns. What a receiver he is. Not the biggest contested catch guy in terms of going up and bringing down the football, but he is reliable. He has struggled with drops at points, and that's something that I have hoped he has been working on because it's plagued him in certain situations. It feels like he'll have a ton of games where he doesn't drop passes, and then he'll have a stretch where he just drops pretty much almost everything. So hopefully those drop games go away for the most part. Obviously, no, nobody's perfect. You're not going to necessarily have a whole season where Andrews doesn't have a drop. That could happen, but a lot of players go through drop phases. So I'm very excited to see what Andrews can do. He's a certified top five tight end in my book. And I think he's going to get a hefty extension whenever he does sign that contract. But Nick Boyle, coming off of a pretty gruesome knee injury that he suffered against the New England Patriots about midway through the 2020 season, his addition, pretty much a free agent addition if you want to look at it, because he did miss the back half of the 2020 season. The Ravens pretty much had to change up their offense a little bit because of his absence. He is also someone who has grown, but in the opposite way that Andrews has. Boyle has always been regarded, as I talked about a bit earlier, as one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL. But he's kind of upped his receiving skills a bit. He's not this all-worldly, you know, never going to drop anything, always going to get open, great route runner. He's not that guy, but he can be a nice secondary option. But now where the Ravens are looking at their tight end position is, how are they going to fill the third tight end void? Baltimore traded Hayden Hurst during the 2020 offseason to the Atlanta Falcons for a few picks. It was a deal that pretty much was Hayden Hurst for a second round pick, but a couple of other sweeteners in there for both sides. And I mean, look, it was a deal that benefited the Ravens because they got J.K. Dobbins with the pick they acquired from Atlanta, but at the same time, they almost traded away what seemed like part of their offense to me. When the Ravens use three tight ends on the field, they are extremely hard to match up against for a couple of reasons. One, with the way the Ravens' ground game already is, if you put in heavy personnel on offense, it's going to make teams pretty scared because the offensive line does their job, and I expect them to do their job. Again, we'll talk about that in the second and third segments. But you have good blocking tight ends with Andrews now, and obviously Boyle's one of the best, and you had Hurst in there as well. Andrews wasn't what he was now as a blocker than he was in 2019, but you kind of had the Hurst, who was in the middle of Andrews and Boyle. You had the pass-catching threat, and you had the run-blocking threat, as I'll call Boyle. So what that did was defenses had to put in heavier personnel, because if you leave in secondary players, if you leave in undersized linebackers or whatnot, those guys are going to get swallowed up. So you want to put in bigger linebackers. You want to put in more on the defensive line. You want to take out, you know, your slot cornerback and put in an extra safety in the box, or put in an extra linebacker in the box or whatnot. But what that can do is, if their defense sells out to the run, the Ravens can play action, the Ravens can go in the pistol, and they can do an RPO. There's all this different types of stuff that they did in 2019 to throw defenses off, and that created opportunities for Andrews and Hurst and Boyle and even the wide receivers and running backs as well, because teams struggled matching up with it. Now in 2020, the Ravens said, yeah, you know, we're going to use Patrick Ricard in that role, and it's going to be great. He's going to have an expanded role, and he's going to do all these great things. And it didn't really work out that way. Ricard still had a good season, but he wasn't really playing in line. He was kind of playing the H-back role, the fullback position role, but wasn't really lining up with the tight ends. He did it occasionally, but we didn't really see a lot of that. And I think, again, that kind of hurt the Ravens because they didn't have the ability to make defenses uneasy. So what they're going to do, I feel like, is they're going to have a third tight end on this roster. You know, I think it's pretty inevitable they will. Now, who is going to step up and be that guy? There are a bunch of options, a lot of different options currently on the Ravens roster, between Josh Oliver, Jacob Breland, Eli Wolf, Tony Pollyon, Eric Tomlinson. All these different guys bring a different skill set to the table. Tomlinson is definitely the veteran in the group. He played with the Ravens last season and did a pretty good job as a blocker. He's not going to give you a lot as a receiver. That's just not his game. But he was solid for the Ravens. Obviously, they would have liked to have had Boyle in those situations. But, you know, he got injured. That was that. And I think the Ravens, they need somebody like a Hurst. I mentioned more of in the middle of an Andrews and a Boyle, someone who is a good receiving threat, but also can block at a pretty high level. And I think the guy is going to end up being Josh Oliver. Oliver has reportedly flashed in camp. So was Tony Pollyon, but I feel like the Ravens traded a 7th-round pick for him for a reason, and to be fair, that 7th-round pick goes back to Baltimore if Oliver does not make the team. But Oliver is someone who hasn't really had a chance to display his athletic traits. He's someone who is a contested catch monster, can get up the field, good route runner. He does a lot of what I think the Ravens are looking for in a third tight end, so if he has a strong camp, I think he's going to be the guy who ends up making it. A guy I really like, though, is Jacob Breland. Breland suffered a gruesome leg injury during his final season at Oregon in 2019. Would have been, I think, the top tight end taken in the 2020 draft had it not been for his injury. He's been rehabbing a ton, trying to get back into football shape and getting that knee fully right. He could be someone who could make a name for himself in the upcoming days, weeks, and months here leading up to the 2021 season. But at the end of the day, I think it'll end up being a three-way battle between Poyan, Oliver, and Breland, because I just think they give the Ravens what they need. Eli Wolf, though, I'm not writing him off. I think he also could make a name for himself, but right now I think it's between those three, and we'll see. You know, the pads haven't come on yet, and that's really when people start to distinguish themselves and pull away in competitions, in training camp battles, positional battles. And John Harbaugh's excited, I think, to see all these battles happen. But I think the Ravens are pretty set at tight end. They could obviously bring in a veteran. I've been a very big advocate of Delanie Walker if he can come back to even 70% of what he was during his last season that he played in, although it has been a while. Charles Clay was brought in, but Andrews is expected, I think, to jump again. Nick Boyle coming back is a huge boost, and whoever the Ravens bring in at the third tight end position, whoever they decide to keep, they don't have to be a star. They don't have to be George Kittle or Travis Kelce or even a Mark Andrews. They just need to be someone who fills their role and plays their role well, and the Ravens have a bunch of guys to choose from, and I think they're going to make the right decision, so I think the Ravens are going to have a great year at the tight end position. And even speaking of the fullbacks, I said we'll talk about them briefly here. Patrick Ricard and Ben Mason are really the two fullbacks. I think Ricard, again, is in line for a very good year. He fits what the Ravens do. He is a power fullback, can get upfield, block, hold blocks very well, can also contribute a bit in the receiving game. And Ben Mason's kind of the, I'll call him like the wild card, because we don't really know. John Harbaugh said he's very happy with what he's seen out of him so far. Maybe this is a draft and stash thing for the Ravens for a year on injured reserve, because maybe they feel like Patrick Ricard is potentially out the door because he's going to sign a bigger contract somewhere else. They don't have the money, so maybe Mason is his replacement. Who knows? We're going to see again when the pads come on. I'm excited to see these guys in action. I think it's going to be a great year for the tight ends and the fullbacks. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to be taking a look at the Ravens' tackle situation, previewing them for the 2021 season, so stay tuned for that, and we will be back soon. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here with our second segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still hanging out with you here. And we just talked about the tight ends for our 2021 positional previews for the Baltimore Ravens. And now we're going to dive into the offensive line, starting off in this second segment with the tackles. And it seems like the Ravens' tackles, I mean, so many storylines throughout this entire, even dating back to the 2020 season, and now in the 2020 offseason, there have been even more. So starting off, we'll start off with the big storyline in the 2020 season, which is now translated into this offseason, which is Ronnie Stanley. Ronnie Stanley is one of the best, if not the best, tackles in all of football, but suffered a gruesome, and I mean gruesome, leg injury during the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers midway through the 2020 season, and that knocked him out for the rest of that year. Now, the Ravens felt that loss, definitely. What had to happen was they moved Orlando Brown Jr. over to the left side, put a combination of DJ Fluker and Tyree Phillips on the right. And I mean, it worked to an extent, but it wasn't like having Ronnie Stanley and Orlando Brown Jr. as your bookend tackles. There was a clear drop-off in play there. Brown Jr. played admirably at the left tackle position, but now the Ravens get Stanley back, and it does so much for their offense. Stanley can get to the second level. He is sound in run blocking. He is a great pass protector. He gets out in space, too. He can move out in space. It's not just the second level. We've seen plays of him just bursting down the field and blocking 30, 40, 50 yards down the field with ball carriers. I mean, he really can move. But, I mean, the big concern with Stanley right now, he has never played a full 16-game season. Now it's 17 games, but has never played a full season of football during his NFL career. So can he, even with this injury, get back, play a full 17-game season now? We'll see. I mean, Stanley, John Harbaugh said that he is on schedule, so we should see him before week one, but it still remains to be seen if he will be the same player. I mean, from a technical standpoint, from a pure skill standpoint, he should be just fine, but, you know, does he have the burst? Does he have the athleticism? How is his leg going to respond to football action? Time will tell. Time will tell with that, but I did mention Orlando Brown Jr. and he is now deported from the Baltimore Ravens after requesting a trade to be able to fulfill his father's dream for him of playing left tackle at the NFL level. Brown said that he had no qualms with the Ravens organization. He loves Eric DaCosta. He loves his teammates, but the Ravens could not offer Orlando Brown Jr. that left tackle job because Ronnie Stanley, that's his position, and they're not moving Ronnie Stanley to the right side. That just wouldn't make sense. So Orlando Brown Jr. goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. Baltimore gets back a plethora of draft selections, including a 2021 first-round selection. And now the Ravens go, and they're not scrambling, but it definitely was a bit of a shock and a surprise to them. So they end up signing Alejandro Villanueva, the Steelers' former left tackle, who now will be playing right tackle with the Baltimore Ravens. He's going to transition over, and it's a bit of a harder transition than usual, but I think he'll be just fine. It might take a little longer. He's now learning the nuances of it in camp, and will continue to learn it throughout the rest of camp and the preseason and whatnot, and hopefully be okay for week one. But it remains to be seen how Villanueva will actually perform over there. And, you know, there's also a question of, again, if Stanley goes down, how are the Ravens going to compensate? Because we had been talking about it all offseason, or last offseason here on Locked On Ravens, about how are the Ravens going to go and how is this thing going to work if one of the two tackles in Stanley or Brown Jr. go down and Ronnie Stanley goes down? The Ravens did not have a ton of tackle depth. Andre Smith opts out before the season. Tyree Phillips, a raw rookie, is kind of learning a bunch of different positions. Starts the year at right guard. DJ Fluker, up and down performer. So the Ravens have all these different options. And, you know, again, the pairing of Phillips and Fluker did work to an extent, but really did not in other cases. So now what the Ravens have is still Phillips. Phillips is still in Baltimore, but I think the Ravens really trust that he's going to improve. Phillips struggled with footwork. His foot speed was really slow coming out of college. Did not improve a ton at the NFL level. Whiffed on a couple of key blocks, but also was sound in some areas. So the Ravens see that potential, and they want to try it out again with Phillips. So he will, I think, primarily be the backup tackle in both situations. What would happen if Stanley goes down? I think Villanueva moves over to the left side and Phillips plays on the right side. There are other guys as well who could potentially play. I mean, Juwan James, if he's healthy, is definitely at least in the competition for a starting job at right tackle, but I think he would be a really nice backup to have, but he's probably not going to play in the 2021 season because of his injury. The Ravens also have a couple of undrafted guys, Foster Sarrell and Adrian Ealy, who could play, and also Andre Smith, who we talked about. A lot of people forgot about Andre Smith, I think, because he did opt out during the 2020 season, and honestly, I don't think he has a great shot to make this team. Had really struggled at a lot of his stops. He was a former first-round pick of the Cincinnati Bengals, and any Bengals fan will tell you just how bad he was for them. Had stops with the Minnesota Vikings as well. And, you know, good depth player, good camp body, but unless he shows really, really good improvement in camp and in the preseason, I don't see a spot for him because the Ravens have some guys who can kick out and play tackle if they need. Patrick McCurry is one of those guys. He played tackle in college before transitioning over to center at the NFL level. So he could be someone who plays at right tackle if things get really, really desperate for the Ravens. But I think the Ravens are comfortable with just Ronnie Stanley, Alejandro Villanueva, and Tyree Phillips. And I think that, you know, if Stanley goes down, they would feel comfortable putting Villanueva back on the left side and having Phillips play on the right side, and that being, you know, his position. Could they afford more depth at the tackle positions? Yeah, you know, I think they could go out there and sign a veteran, or they could keep four tackles potentially. But again, I think the Ravens like this idea of having guys who can play multiple positions on the offensive line. Even Michael Schofield, who they just signed and we'll talk about in the final segment, can play a bit of tackle. So a lot of different options. I do expect the addition of Stanley back to the offensive line to be a huge boost. He's just so good. He is so good at what he does. The Ravens felt the losses of both Stanley and Nick Boyle, and they happened, I think it was both of them got injured in a span of 3 weeks. So two huge losses on their offense in a span of 3 weeks. And it really, they lose their best offensive lineman, and they also lose their second best tight end, who is arguably their best blocker. So there's a lot of different stuff that contributed to the Ravens, I guess, lull in the offense, because we saw towards the back half of the season, the Ravens got it figured out, and they were running all over teams, and they were passing the football really well too, but it took a little while. It took a little while to formulate that offensive identity. Now with Stanley back, Now with Boyle back and with an improved offensive line, I think it's going to be a great year. I mean, running the football and passing it, but that starts up front. You know, everything for an offense starts up front. It starts with how you protect your quarterback, how you block in the run game, how your guys get out to the second level, how guys can hold blocks. Can they do it without penalties? All these different things. Stanley's going to be a huge addition. Villanueva, I think, is going to perform at a better level than some expect. Is there a drop-off between Orlando Brown Jr. and Alejandro Villanueva? Yes. You know, there's no sugarcoating it. Villanueva is not as good as Orlando Brown Jr. But that does not mean Villanueva is not good, right? There's a difference. Villanueva is a solid veteran option. They can kind of utilize him in a way that they want in terms of how they want to proceed with his contract over the next year, because it is a two-year deal with Villanueva. Obviously, Juwan James also plays a big part in that in the draft as well, and his performance. But overall, I think Baltimore's tackle situation is good right now. Obviously, it's going to be good when Ronnie Stanley is healthy and playing and active, but the Ravens have Villanueva, they have Phillips, they trust their guys, they have a couple depth pieces you can kick outside if need be. So they're better prepared this season, I think, at tackle. They're more prepared for an injury. And with Stanley never playing a full 16-game season, I think they have to be. But the Ravens have the playmakers and the potential to, again, get back to having a good tackle unit with Stanley back. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we'll be transitioning to the inside of Baltimore's offensive line and talking about the guards and the centers for our 2021 positional previews. So stay tuned for that, and we will be back soon. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, double chocolate, and salted caramel? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure from pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On, and they had you hear about us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And we return here with our final segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you. And now we're going to get into the interior of the offensive line for our 2021 positional preview segments here. And that's going to be the guards and centers. And the guards and centers, I mean, look, the whole offensive line is going to look different, but we're going to see, I think, a lot of new faces when it comes to the interior of this offensive line. And so we'll start with the guards and then move into the centers. Now, the guards last season, I mean, again, a whirlwind. Marshall Yonder retires. The Ravens are looking for replacements. They have a couple of options. They end up going with Tyree Phillips during week one at that position. They shuffle a few guys around, end the year with Ben Powers at the position. And at left guard, it was the Bradley Bozeman show. Bozeman was the really only consistent player in terms of actually being in his designated role for a full season. And he played really well in it, too. But now we're going to see a ton of new faces. Kevin Zeitler, a huge addition to this team, signed right before the start of free agency actually began because he was a cap casualty of the New York Giants. He still is a solid player. He spent time with the Cincinnati Bengals, the Cleveland Browns, the New York Giants. And I mean, he is overall is someone who is a good run blocker, a good pass protector, and has been a steady veteran presence for years, and especially helped out that Giants offensive line. He's someone who is tough. He comes to work every day, makes sure he does his job. But one of the underrated aspects of this, I think, is he is a veteran. And, you know, that's the word I keep coming back to, because we heard, for example, Orlando Brown Jr. talk extensively about how having a veteran like Marshall Yonder on the offensive line next to him helped him as a young guy figuring out the NFL game and everything. And while he's going to probably have Alejandro Villanueva to his right and Bradley Bozeman at the center position to his left, Bradley Bozeman is going to be stepping into that center position for the first time in his NFL career. He played center at Alabama but transitioned to guard at the NFL level. So having a veteran like Zeitler, and no, Marshall Yonder is not replaceable, right? Kevin Zeitler is not as good as Marshall Yanda, but Kevin Zeitler's seen a ton of things at the NFL level. He knows his way around the game. I think that's going to help Bradley Bozeman tremendously. I think you're just going to get a lot more consistent play out of a guy like Kevin Zeitler, as opposed to Tyree Phillips or Ben Powers, and that's no slight to either of those guys. I just think a player of Zeitler's caliber kind of goes under the radar because, you know, he's older, he might have lost a step, lost some power, but he's a very powerful guard, and he'll do a lot in this Ravens offense. Speaking of powerful guards, Ben Cleveland, the Ravens' third-round selection out of the University of Georgia, he is currently the front-runner in most people's eyes to be the left guard starter come week one. He is just a mountain, and I mean a mountain of a man. He just towers over most people, super heavy hands, really powerful, sound and pass protection, a good run blocker as well, moves guys off the line, can get to the second level as well. Kind of struggles a bit with more athletic rushers from the interior and can sometimes get caught out like that. But, I mean, he is a solid guy. And if he blows the coaches away during training camp and during the preseason, I think that job is all his. But he will have to earn it because there are other guys vying for it. And it's the three Bens, really, and now the one Michael, I think. But Ben Powers, Ben Bredesen, and Michael Schofield. Ben Powers, I'm kind of interested to see what the Ravens actually think of Ben Powers. He is my, like, surprise cut that could happen, or it could be a Jermaine Illuminor situation where they just don't like what they see, and Illuminor is a bit different because they pretty much handed him that starting job, and he did everything in his power to lose it, and the Ravens traded him away to New England. But the Ravens might not have enough room for all the depth that they currently have on the offensive line. It seems pretty unlikely that they'll be able to keep all of their guys that they want to keep. So a guy like Ben Powers might be the odd man out, and they might want to give him a fresh start. Ben Bredesen, I think the Ravens like to be a developmental guy. Again, I don't think this is his time yet. He could have done a lot in the offseason, and he could win that starting job. I'm not saying he didn't put in that work, but I think right now Ben Cleveland is that guy. Michael Schofield, again, I mentioned, could win that job, but I do think that he could be used more as a swing type of guy. I mentioned the Ravens do like the guys who can play multiple different positions. Schofield can play guard and tackle. So again, we'll see how they end up using their guards this year because they could move them around the line and things can happen. Injuries happen, right? That's with all the positions. So having good depth is better than having none at all. And moving to the center position, Bradley Bozeman is definitely the guy there. He has been working hard this offseason to get back up to speed with what he did in college. He was a good college center at Alabama. He's someone who I think is going to solidify that position a lot and honestly make himself a lot of money. This is a contract year for him, and I think he'll price himself out of Baltimore if he has a very good season, unfortunately. You know, I don't want him to price himself out, but it just seems like that could be what happens. In terms of other guys on the roster there, it's really Patrick McCurry and Tristan Colon. Tristan Colon Castillo now goes by Tristan Colon, but McCurry kind of had an interesting end of the year at center. It was Matt Skura, it was Patrick McCurry, Matt Skura, Patrick McCurry. At the end of the year, Patrick McCurry did not have a good couple games. You know, Tennessee was all right. He definitely had an all right game there. Wasn't, you know, good, wasn't bad, but the Buffalo game was just atrocious. And it wasn't just him. The entire offensive line had a pretty bad time. But McCurry was flinging snaps over Lamar Jackson's head, and one of them ended up causing him to get concussed. McCurry is a great backup center, a guy who you would trust playing for a game or two. But I don't think right now at this point in his career he is a starter. He's a bit undersized. That's not an issue, right? If players play hard and they have the skills, size is not an issue. Unless, you know, they're like 3'7", and I don't think anyone in the NFL is 3'7". But I think he's someone who you can trust as a backup, someone who can play all five positions on the offensive line. I think that's also valuable for the Ravens, but isn't a guy who I would want as the starting center right now. He could develop into that guy for sure, but right now I don't think I want him there. And then Tristan Colon, I do think he has a ton of potential, and Baltimore really, really seems to like him. So it'll be interesting to see how they end up moving with three centers. Is it going to be three? Or are they going to end up having two? Because I mentioned it might be hard to keep a lot of guys on this offensive line on the roster this year, especially with the depth at receiver, the depth at tight end, the depth at outside linebacker, the depth at corner, the depth at safety. So there might have to be some cuts on the offensive line. Will it be at center? Will it be at guard? Will it be at tackle? It remains to be seen, but the interior of the offensive line, I expect to be a lot more solid. I mean, think about it. At the end of the year, the Ravens offensive line in that Buffalo game from left to right was Orlando Brown at left tackle, Bradley Bozeman at left guard, Patrick McCurry at center, Ben Powers at right guard, and Tyree Phillips at right tackle. Entering the 2021 season, the projected offensive line is Ronnie Stanley at left tackle, Ben Cleveland at left guard, Bradley Bozeman at center, Kevin Zeitler at right guard, and Alejandro Villanueva at right tackle. That is a much more veteran line. That is a much more overall solid line. Pretty much the Ravens are moving their third best offensive lineman from guard to center, from left guard to center in Bradley Bozeman. They're getting their best offensive lineman back in Ronnie Stanley. They lost their second best offensive lineman in Leonard Brown Jr., but they signed Kevin Zeitler and Alejandro Villanueva, and they brought in Ben Cleveland. I think that five is much better than the end of the year five that we saw in 2020. So I'm excited to see this interior group. I think it's going to be a great year running the football behind these guys. They can pull, they can pass protect, they can get to the next level, they can open holes, they can do it all, and I think it's going to be a much improved year for the offensive line as a whole. That's all that I have for you today, but when we get back here tomorrow, it's more Ravens talk from us, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.